Let us bow together in prayer. Almighty God, we know that your word is perfect. We know that your word is comprehensive and includes everything we need to know. We pray that as we concentrate on the word this evening, you will open our hearts to hear it accurately. We pray that through it, you will make us more mature disciples, more fully devoted to the Lord Jesus. We pray also, Father, that you will convict us of our sins and strengthen us in grace by the Holy Spirit. Amen. My text for this evening is in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. I have been preaching in this book in the evenings in the churches I have visited, and I've come to this passage this evening. It's not especially designed for you, but it fits. It fits all of us. Zephaniah is near the back of the Old Testament, the fourth back, if you start from the back and work forward. I guess that's more confusing than helpful, but hopefully you will have it before you. Zephaniah 2, verses 13 through 15. Let us hear God's word. And he will stretch out his hand against the north, destroy Assyria, and make Nineveh a desolation, as dry as the wilderness. The herds shall lie down in her midst. Every beast of the nation, both the pelican and the bittern, shall lodge on the capitals of her pillars. Their voice shall sing in the windows, desolation shall be at the threshold, for he will lay bare the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt securely, that said in her heart, I am it, and there is none besides me. How she has become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down. Everyone who passes by her shall hiss and shake his fist. And thus we end the reading of God's holy word. When a child is born, there's much joy in the family, especially the grandparents, I found out about 18 years ago. There is joy for everyone who knows the family, and a period of intense care begins for this little human being, because this little human being is so dependent, and this little human being is not self-sufficient, and if he or she is not cared for, he or she will perish, and perish quickly. And that illustrates the dependence that we have even as adults, Christian or non-Christian. We don't often recognize it because we can do so many things ourselves. And then as we get older, we find that there are things now that we cannot do that we used to be able to do. And we begin to realize, if we're paying attention, that this life is going to end. We can begin to think about our dependence. You see, the fact is that we human beings can become, in our thinking, too independent. We can think that, or we can be lulled into subconsciously living as if, for temporary periods of time, God doesn't exist. I don't need God to change the oil, we might think. I don't need God to button my shirt. But you know what? Actually, we do. Self-sufficiency can be taken too far, and Zephaniah speaks about this in my text for this evening. Now, Zephaniah primarily has a word for Judah, the southern kingdom. And he, like several other prophets, was telling the people of Judah, you have turned from the Lord, you have defied him, you have rebelled against him, you haven't repented, and if you don't repent, Jerusalem is going to fall. And the Babylonians are going to come and destroy the city. He was giving them this message in the 600s B.C. Well, they needed to repent and trust in the Lord. And that was his main message. But in this section, Zephaniah has turned to another nation. And Zephaniah is saying to Judah, God will avenge your enemies. God will take care of your enemies. And this particular enemy, Assyria, whose capital was Nineveh, they were thinking that they could do as they pleased. They had become so self-confident. And that was the message for these people. The Lord's judgment on the self-sufficient. That's my title this evening, under these three headings. First of all, the self-sufficient people. The self-sufficient people of Nineveh and Assyria. Secondly, the no longer self-sufficient people. What happened to them when God judged them? The no longer self-sufficient people. And thirdly, the self-sufficient Lord who is over us all. The self-sufficient Lord. First of all, then, the self-sufficient people. In verse 15, I'm not going to take the verses in order, but in topical order this evening. In verse 15, it is called the rejoicing city. Nineveh is a rejoicing city. And there are many reasons for rejoicing. There are many times we should rejoice. But in this case, they were rejoicing because they thought they were independent and self-sufficient. The rejoicing city, the exultant city, the jubilant city, Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. Maybe they had a lot of parties. They rejoiced. There was a man Jesus told about in the New Testament who had many material blessings. And he had so many, in fact, he couldn't store them all. So he built barns and stored them. And then he said to himself, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In Luke 12:19. That's Luke 12:19. And this appears to be the way the city of Nineveh was living. In verse 15 again, the people dwelt securely. And a few facts about Nineveh will reveal maybe why. Nineveh was a city of 120,000 according to the book of Jonah. And Nineveh had a city wall around it that was 60 feet high. It was wide enough for three chariots abreast to go across. That's a lot of protection. There were 1,500 towers in the city of Nineveh. It was so strong, so rich, and so dominating that the people became overconfident. They feared no one, and they became careless. Well, I have a question for you this evening. Are things going well for you? Things going smoothly for you? When things go smoothly for a while, you know what happens. We are susceptible to being overconfident and self-confident. We talk about people who are being more susceptible and less susceptible to COVID-19. We know who they are now. We've been told many times. And it's a serious thing, and we don't want anyone else to get it, of course. But we are all vulnerable and susceptible to overconfidence. In Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Matthew 26:41. So watch. Pay attention to your environment. Pay attention to what is happening to you. Pay attention to where you are and what the particular temptations are in your situation. In some situations, you aren't so tempted as you are in others. We have to watch, just like the watchman looked out for enemy invaders of the city. We have to be watchmen over our souls. Of course, the Lord watches over our souls, but we have to be diligent as well. Watch, he says. Watch and pray. Pray for strength for any temptation that comes your way. Even though we watch, we can't anticipate everything that's going to happen to us. Sometimes things come upon us unexpectedly. Surprises, things we could never have imagined would happen at that place, at that time. And so we have to be praying that the Lord would always be with us and that we would be spiritually aware at the moment. It's difficult to think quickly sometimes, especially some people can think quickly better than others, and we have to be as prepared as we can. So be a watchman over your soul as the Lord Jesus oversees your soul, and as the elders oversee your soul as well. Pray without ceasing. This also applies corporately. That's why we have corporate worship. That's why we pray together as a body, to the local congregation, to the denomination, to the entire church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to watch and pray. If we go for a long period of time unpersecuted, untested, we have to be careful. We can become satisfied with ourselves. You know some of the things we say in America, in our culture. You've got this. You can do this. And we encourage each other. But you know, sometimes we don't got it. Sometimes we can't do it. Sometimes the temptation overcomes us. We are in constant need of help. Help from the Lord. Instead of being satisfied with ourselves, we have to be satisfied with Jesus Christ and his help. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." 1 Corinthians 10:12. The Ninevites dwelt securely, and that was false security. Nineveh said something else, and this is big in verse 15. "I am it, and there's no one besides me. No one can compare with me. No one can compete with me. I am, and there is none besides me." They claim for themselves what is God's alone. Talk about overconfidence. Is it possible that we can think this way sometimes? It is. Yes, we're still the Lord's. Yes, he still watches over us. Yes, we still belong to him. But we can lapse into periods of time, and maybe it's even subconscious, when we begin to live and act as if God has nothing to do with this. It's amusing to hear this, but then it's not. It's so serious. I've heard people who take public office or a high position in our government, I've heard this more than once, the person, as he or she takes this office or this appointment, or elected office, will say, "Now I want you to know that I'm taking this job and you know about my faith, let me assure you, my faith has nothing to do with the way I execute the duties of my office. That's not an encouragement to Christians. But I've heard it said more than once. How could your Christianity not have something to do with the way you do your job? It has everything to do with it. A message that is bombarding our ears constantly in American society is, love yourself, take care of yourself, and this is a good one here, forgive yourself. Really? Forgive yourself? What about the forgiveness of God? Self, self, self. And I acknowledge that some people have had a rough childhood. Some people have been told over and over that they are worthless. Some people have been told over and over again, you will never amount to anything. And they have been told that so many times that they believe it. And yes, we need help with that. Yes, we do. But low self-esteem is not our major problem. We do need to understand we're created in the image of God for the purpose of serving Him and glorifying Him. And He will give us the grace and ability to do that. But the message of Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel is, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Philippians 2:3 says, think of others more highly than you think of yourself. Philippians 2, verse 3. Not, I am it, and there's no one besides me. Well, that's the self-sufficient people. And now, what happens to them? The no longer self-sufficient people, secondly. What happens to them? Destruction and desolation. Lonely birds are nesting on their buildings. Their beautiful buildings and cedar work is being destroyed by the weather. Animals are inhabiting the capital of Assyria instead of people. Because the Lord is showing them what happens when people say, I am it, and there is none besides me. He is showing them what happens when people think they are self-sufficient and can do without him. Nineveh fell in 612 BC. God had used Nineveh to discipline his people, but then he caused Nineveh to fall. The prophet Nahum wrote more about this, but Zephaniah mentions it. A city of self-sufficient people is made desolate by the judgment of the Lord. Nineveh became a ghost town. The once self-sufficient people would be mocked. In verse 15, everyone who passes by her shall hiss and shake his fist. The once beautiful city would be beautiful no more. The powerful, self-reliant people would be mocked. There's a spiritual truth here. James 4:6. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4, verse 6. That is a truth. God resists the proud. And how does one become humble? If God lifts up the humble, how does one become humble? Through an encounter with Jesus Christ, the humble one. That's how one becomes humble. Remember Paul. Remember Paul when he was known as Saul, the self-reliant, proud Jew, Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin, well-educated. He had more to boast of than almost anyone, he said. But it became as nothing to him. He encountered Jesus Christ, and then what did he say? That's worthless. That's garbage. And then he said, I am the chief of sinners. That's what happens when someone comes into contact with Jesus Christ. Remember the tax collector who prayed, God be merciful to me, the sinner. The sinner. The humblest of all will make men and women, boys and girls, humble as they realize their sin and God's grace. Unrepentant sinners will be cast into hell, plainly put. And we don't want them to go to hell. We want them to become humble. We want them to be humbled by the grace of God. We want to be their helpers so this won't happen as happened to the city of Nineveh. But you know what our temptation is? Our temptation is what was experienced in Psalm 73 by Asaph. Remember? Psalm 73, 18 through 20. Asaph is writing about the wicked. In fact, the prosperity of the wicked. He looks around and he sees the wicked prospering. Just as in Zephaniah's day, people looked around and saw Nineveh prospering, that wicked city. Asaph wrote in Psalm 73, 18 through 20, speaking of the wicked, surely you, God, set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Psalm 73, 18 through 20. We are tempted, like Asaph, to be envious of the wicked who are prospering. And the Lord says through Asaph, don't worry about them. They're on a slippery slope, sliding down to hell. And as I said before, we don't want that to happen. We don't want the people who are self-sufficient today to continue to be that way. We don't want ourselves, once we slip into that pattern, to stay there. Because we're the people of the Lord. We're trying to help those who don't know better. So secondly, the no longer self-sufficient people. And thirdly, the truly self-sufficient Lord. And we go to other places in Scripture to remind ourselves of this. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses asked, what is your name? And the Lord replied, I am that I am. Tell them, I am that I am sent you to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. That is my name. As you know, it's the, in transliteration, it's the four Hebrew letters, YHWH, or Yahweh. Sometimes we call it Jehovah. It means, it's from the verb to be, meaning being, I am who I am. And in that name, God tells us he is self-sufficient. He is self-existent. He is dependent on no one. You know, really, when we talk to God sometimes, or when we talk about God sometimes, we treat him as if he is a human being. We treat him as if he has the limitations of a human being sometimes in our conversation. He's not. Yes, he took on flesh when Jesus came to earth, but he was always more than human. He was always divine as well. I am that I am In other words, this might be offensive, maybe, but I don't need you, God says. You see? He doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything. He made everything else that exists. He is the self-existent, self-sufficient God. And I'm reminded of this passage from Isaiah 45, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 45, verses 5 and 6. I am the Lord. There's the name Yahweh. I am the Lord, and there's no other. There's no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Isaiah 45, 5 and 6. And we have to get this into our heads. What Nineveh said was a paraphrase, or almost the exact words that God said about himself. And there's no one like God. He is so far above us. And then in the same chapter, Isaiah 45, verses 21 and 22, tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and Savior. And there is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. Isaiah 45, 21 and 22. He knows the end from the beginning, he is saying in this passage, and no one else does. He decrees and it comes to pass, and no one else can do that. And he is the just God and Savior. And we all must look to him for help and salvation. God is so self-sufficient that he says in Psalm 50, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. He would not need us to go fetch him something to eat. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, says the Lord. He owns it all. Yes, the popular song of yesteryear says, I am a rock, I am an island. And a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. Wow. The singers are saying, I'm tired of being hurt. I'm going to isolate myself so I won't be hurt anymore. And of course, that's always temporary. We've all had that feeling, especially this year. And then again, we've hoped we could not isolate ourselves anymore. Because why? Because we are dependent. We are dependent on God, and we are dependent on other human beings. We need each other, and we need God. But God is not like that. He is self-sufficient. We human beings are needy. We got up this morning, got ready for church, took care of ourselves. Here we are. Everything's okay. Yes, we have a few things on our minds, maybe some big things, but, you know, did you think when you were putting on your shirt, now, how is it I do this? No, you just did it. You've done it a lot of times before. And until you're unable to do it, you probably won't think of it again, and I won't either. We take so many things for granted. We can do them by ourselves. But we need the Lord. We need each other. Our safety, our very life, depends on the Lord. And there's this verse in Colossians 1:17 that helps us with this. Colossians 1:17, and he, Christ, is before all things, and in him all things consist. Colossians 1:17, or in Christ, all things hold together. That's you. You hold together because of Christ. If it weren't for Christ holding you together, you would die immediately. But it's easy for us to forget that. Hebrews 1:3 says of Christ, upholding all things by the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3, Christ sustains the universe. He sustains you. He sustains me. He sustained me all the time I was standing up here this evening. He has sustained me through these years that I've lived and you through the years you've lived. And as long as you live, it will be because he sustains you. Don't let yourself be drawn into self-sufficient thinking and living. You are not born of the Spirit to live that way. Continue to admit your need. Continue to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is before all things, and he holds all things together. Amen. Let us pray. Great Father in heaven, forgive us, we pray, for the sin of trusting in ourselves rather than you, or forgetting our dependence upon you. Teach us.